from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Bound, bound, down, 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 down. At Deadpools by H&D, a.k.a. Volton Johnson on Twitter, just said North Carolina says Beaufort or Beaufort. Does the percentage of twang in your accent change the pronunciation of the name? I know it changes the pronunciation of certain words, right? Like y'all ends up with an extra syllable in it. And I'm good with it. Like, that's a lot of my family members that speak like that. I'm 100% fine with it. In fact, you take me out to Crestview, Florida long enough, and I'll end up starting to get a little bit of it drafting back into the accent a little bit. You'll know when I come back home from a country relative's house at a family reunion, when we have it out in the sticks, because a day or two it'll take me to kind of get back to normal. But does the amount of twang in y'all's voice change how you pronounce the name of a city? I know it does, because I've been here 4.5 years now, and y'all are still trying to convince me that Clinton ain't got a T in it.
Told you, a lot of people with no front teeth. And if you don't have front teeth, you can't say T.
No, see, I know people that I've done seen them smile, and they got pretty smile.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Those are partials.
Say Clinton.
Those are partials, which will click when they try to say a T, so they try not to do that because then people will go, okay, that looks like you have fake teeth, and they don't want that, so they'll just leave out the T.
Y'all, I drove through Clinton, South Carolina, not terribly long ago, on my way down to down to St. Augustine. There's a T on the sign that welcomes you to the city. It's a big old fat sign right there driving into the city limits, and it has a T right there on it.
I worked for Presbyterian for a year doing pregame, which is in Clinton. And I will tell you, the students that I witnessed and you know, had interaction with in Clinton on PC campus said Clinton.
That's them damn college kids.
Well, yeah, because
they know more than everybody else.
I ain't from here. I ain't from Clinton. I don't know how you're supposed to act when you're from Clinton now.
Zach says Rob's family talks like they're from J, Florida. Well, that, Zach, is because one of them is. All right? One of them is. All right, let's get back to some sports. We've had a couple of segments worth of conversation about this lawsuit where the mother of a high school recruit is trying to change the rules in North Carolina that say athletes at public schools in that state may not accept NIL money. She is challenging that and saying they should be able to, especially considering the fact that kids in private schools are allowed to. Texter said, we had a couple of texts. Donovan said, didn't the NIL come into play because, pardon me, the universities were making money off the athletes' numbers, posters, etc. I personally don't know if any high schools make money off their athletes for jerseys, posters, signatures, etc. Yes and no, Donovan. A big part of the argument was that schools were making money off of these athletes that the athletes were not allowed to make. But the other side of that argument, the other side of that coin is, even if they weren't, who cares? Even if they weren't, the argument is that these kids should be allowed to utilize their name, image, and likeness in order to build off their personal brand and profit off of it. Again, I signed an agreement here that says I'm not going to accept money from anybody that is not approved by the folks downstairs. I can't do it. But I can also tell you that if I wished to, I could fight that. And theoretically, I'm not going to, but theoretically, I could take that to court. I could say, yes, I agree to work for them. And yes, I agree on the air to endorse only clients that they approve of me putting on their airwaves. However, in my day-to-day personal outside of work life, I should be able to endorse whoever I want. And honestly, I might have a case. And I might not. I don't know. I don't really have any interest in doing it. Right? But I theoretically could. That's kind of what this is. All right, we'll put that conversation to bed and move on, because we got plenty more that we need to cover, we need to talk about here on the show. I do want to get to this. The NFL week one is now a week and 2 days away. Next Thursday night, we start week one with a Thursday night competition between Lonzo's Kansas City Chiefs and the reigning AFC runners-up, Lamar Jackson, the reigning defending undisputed NFL MVP, Lamar Jackson, a contest that is, to me, absolutely worthy of being the NFL's kickoff contest for the 2024 season.
Al will stay awake for that, I'm guessing.
The whole thing?
Yeah, for probably the whole thing, if it's as exciting as the last time they played was.
I can't see any reason why it won't be. TBH. I can't see any reason that's not going to be a banger.
Maybe Herb Street will be less awkward this year.
I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be a banger.
Why did you just not get the whole thing? Why did you just go with just one? There we go.
Well, because in this case, it's just one. On Thursday night, there shall be only one. On Saturday, there will be... And on Sunday, there will be...
Well...
One more banger on
Sunday.
Yeah,
but Sunday nights haven't typically been good lately, so I don't know if that will be a banger or not. I didn't check to see what the Sunday night game is.
I think we've been sans football for so long. I sat there and watched a New Mexico State game on Saturday. Every game's going to be a banger for NFL Week 1. But here's the thought. Here's the question. As a texter has texted the show, 71307, start your text with fan and start it with the, or start it with fan, text is 71307. Texter says, let me, dramatic acting, sports! So here's some sports.
Wait. It can't be him because he did.
No, I don't think it's Ray. That might be son of Ray. That might be Ray 2. Ray Jr. Low Ray.
So we're just assuming here that Ray was able to procreate. I mean, with as uptight as Ray was, I don't know.
My dude, I know some crotchety old men who crotches. They got kids, all right? So some of y'all older fellas, y'all either had a personality shift or the ladies put up with a lot more back in the day.
Well, I mean, the women are attracted to the bad dudes, supposedly.
That's true.
I mean,
that's true. The ladies love a bad boy.
And the jerks always seem to be with the hot girls, so.
The ladies love a bad boy. That's why I have just been the cream of the crop, yeah, with the ladies over the years, because they just love a bad boy like me, all right?
Yeah, look at you, wearing your all white. It's so deceptive.
Which NFL head coach is catching the hook first? There is a list put out by Yahoo Sports of coaches that are on the hot seat.
Is Eberflus on there? Because when he fails with what's supposed to be a spectacular offense.
Oh, they will blame him.
Yeah.
They will blame him. Here's the coaches that are on the list from Yahoo Sports. Great one. The list includes Mike McCarthy for the Dallas Cowboys, Robert Saleh from the New York Jets, Doug Peterson from the Jacksonville Jaguars, Brian Daboll from the New York Football Giants, Nick Sirianni with the Philadelphia Eagles, Matt Eberflus of the Chicago Bears, and Dennis Allen. Yay! He's on the list.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, but isn't he on the list every week, every year?
No, he was on the list last year, and he's way on the list this year.
Okay. So this list is in order? Because if it is, he's like way down on the list.
This list is in no particular order. These are not the available betting odds, which are out, by the way. Let me see if I can find those. Next, coach fired. Here are your odds for the next NFL coach to be hired, since the great one brought it up. A pair of coaches, clubhouse leaders at 4.5 to 1, Robert Saleh of the New York Jets, Mike McCarthy of the Dallas Cowboys. Next up, a pair of guys who are 5 to 1, so just a hair's breadth longer or shorter odds, Matt Eberflus of the Bears, Dennis Allen of the Saints. There is a big drop from 5 to 1 down to 12 to 1, where you find Brian Daboll of the New York Giants, 15 to 1, Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills, Nick Sirianni of the Philadelphia Eagles are both 15 to 1. Todd Bowles of the Buccaneers is 20 to 1, or you can select the field at 12 to 1. Every coach that's not Saleh, McCarthy, Eberflus, Allen, Daboll, McDermott, Sirianni, or Bowles. I am going to say my money is on probably to Matt Eberflus is getting the whole year. All right. The question mark here is anybody going to get canned in season? Is there anybody who loses the job while the boys are still battling? And I think the answer is going to be yes. Whomst? I'm not sure. But if I had to guess, I think Nick Sirianni of the Eagles. Because I think if this team is bad again this year, I think it's a wholesale panic for Philly. For a team that is not that long removed from a Super Bowl appearance, to have the absolute meltdown that they had late in the regular season last year, and to have the talent they have this year. Remember, Saquon Barkley is now an Eagle. They have, in my opinion, one of the top four wide receiver groups in all of the National Football League to go with him. Jalen Hurts, whether he is or is not, is viewed by the Eagles as a franchise quarterback, as an elite franchise quarterback. So if this team is anything less than stellar this year, I think Sirianni's the first guy that gets the hook. You're picking him up at 15 to 1 right now, if you're into that sort of thing. There's another thing that comes into play with this. I think the NFC East is going to be shockingly competitive this year. I think the Giants are still going to be down, and it's not Danny Dimes' fault. It's just what that franchise is right now. So Daboll's probably in play for this prestigious honor as well. But they did go get Danny Dimes, what I think is a number one wide receiver in Malik Nabers. And I think that that is very interesting. I think that Danny Dimes knows that he's not just playing for his career as a Giant. I think he's playing for his career as an NFL starting quarterback. I think he knows that if he don't get it done this year, he is done. He becomes a journeyman backup. He becomes Mac Jones, effectively, if he doesn't get it done this year. So I think the quarterback's playing for his life. I just don't think they have the talent. I think Dallas, even with the signing of C.D. Lamb yesterday, which is big, I'm glad they got it done for C.D.'s sake. But even with the signing of C.D. Lamb yesterday, I think the Dallas Cowboys are taking a step back this year. I think they're walking it back a little bit. I think the Dallas Cowboys, outside of C.D. Lamb, do you know who Dallas's number two wide receiver on the depth chart is right now? Brandon Cooks. To put that into perspective, Brandon Cooks was a veteran when he was playing with Drew Brees in New Orleans. That's how long this cat's been around. They did not upgrade talent. In fact, if anything, they downgraded talent. Tony Pollard's gone. He's in Tennessee now. Who's the starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys? Zeke Elliott, a guy that already wasn't good enough for the Cowboys 2 years ago. He's back as their number one. They ain't got a running game this year with Zeke Elliott as number one. They got a good offensive line. They've got a washed running back. They've got a good quarterback. They've got one wide receiver. And that's it. I think Dallas is taking a step back. And then there's their Washington Commanders. Bum, 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 bums.
By the way, you started talking about Dallas. Now a bunch of Dallas stuff is showing up on my feed, including Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook is meeting with the Dallas Cowboys. And don't get me wrong, that would be nice to give a little lightning to Zeke's lack of thunder. Sure. But is that a game changer? No. If he was a game changer still, he'd be in Minnesota. He'd still be a Viking. But he's not. I love Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook was one of my favorite players to watch play early in his Minnesota career. But he ain't that guy anymore. It's just the problem is the Big D, and I do mean Dallas, is having the NFL franchise version of an anxiety attack right now. Because they realized they done screwed up. Because they ain't got the talent right now to compete. I think Dallas is taking a step back, like under win total, step back this year, okay? So, I've got an Eagles team with a head coach that is playing for his life, that is coaching for his life, that absolutely did upgrade. They upgraded at wide receiver. They upgraded at running back this year. I got a Dallas team that has taken a step back this year, in my opinion. I got a Giants team that has a head coach and a quarterback that are coaching and playing for their lives. I just think they're pretty mediocre when it comes to roster construction. And then there's the Washington Commanders. Look, Dan Quinn showed us in Atlanta. He may not be head coaching material. But I think part of the reason that Dan Quinn kind of struggled there in Atlanta a little bit was I don't think he really had assembled a top-flight coaching staff. I think he's done that in D.C. I wonder if Dan Quinn learned his lesson a little bit and put together a good coaching staff. And I think the answer is yes, including Cliff Kingsbury, who I think is going to be a good OC. And OBT Dubs, as I told y'all before last year's college football season, Jaden Daniels is going to be a dude. He will be him. That team is one of my dark horse teams to steal a divisional crown away from somebody. So Nick Sirianni's on my list of the next coach to be fired, a coach that will be fired in season. Probably my bet. I think Dennis Allen finishes the year. I think Robert Saleh finishes the year. If the Jets don't win the East, though, Robert Saleh will be gone. Why? So they don't have to blame Aaron Rodgers. So they can keep A-Rod around maybe one more season into, what, year 43? I don't know. We'll see. So there's your coaches who are on the hot seat in the NFL, according to Las Vegas. Who's your bet for the NFL head coach that does not make it out of the season? We got some more football to talk when we come back. Rolling through hour number three of the four-hour extravaganza. That is the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
So yesterday we talked a little bit about Bryce Young getting the nod as the starter for preseason game number 3 for the Carolina Panthers. He got thrown out there, rolled out there, looked efficient. Not necessarily explosive, not necessarily anything that blew you off the page, but he was comfortable in the pocket. He was calm in the pocket. Footwork looked good. Delivered the balls where they needed to go in order to allow the wide receivers not just to make the catch, but to make the catch and continue forward momentum after they did. I was very happy with it. But I don't want to talk about this year's Bryce Young right now. I want to talk about last year's Bryce Young for just a minute. And why is that? Well, here's why. There is an article up on The Athletic right now. This article is a breakdown of quarterbacks in the National Football League. It is written by Mike Sando. And what Sando did, allegedly, is Sando threw out there to, he says, 50 NFL executives and head coaches, both current and prior. And he asked them to rank quarterbacks. And then using those rankings, put together a poll of the quarterbacks in tier rankings. So tier one, obviously Mahomes is up there. Joe Burrow's up there. Lamar Jackson's up there. Tier two, Josh Allen in tier two, along with a host of other quarterbacks. But what I want to talk about is a quote that Sando put directly into his article. A quote that Mike Sando from The Athletic claims is from a NFL head coach about Bryce Young's first year as an NFL player. According to Sando, the coach said, quote, "I don't know of a human being that has been put in a worse situation as a quarterback ever. So I'm going to give him a benefit of the doubt. I'll take what has Rob Brown been screaming for a year now for 500, please, Alex." Yes, this is why I have said, and I phrase it as a joke, but if I'm keeping it a buck with you, it ain't exactly a joke to me. I phrase it as a joke because every time I do, Lonzo's eyes roll so far back in his head that it gives himself a neurological examination when I say it. But I kind of mean it a little bit.
A lot of space for rent, by the way.
A lot of space back there. I mean it when I say, and I say thoroughly, sincerely, and I hold to this. This is Bryce Young's rookie year to me. It is Bryce Young's rookie year because, as was stated, according to Mike Sando in this article on The Athletic, even NFL coaches say that this was doomed to failure before it ever got off the ground. Before it ever got off the ground. I don't know of a human being that has been put in a worse situation as a quarterback ever. Ever. So I'm just giving him the benefit of the doubt. And what have I pointed out? I have pointed out that the skill position talent last year was not talented. There was Adam Thielen. There was a bit of a renaissance late in the year for Chuba Hubbard. But Miles Sanders wasn't the guy Carolina paid him to be. John Mingo did not break out like we had hoped that he would. TMJ did not break out like we hoped that he would. Lack of skill position talent. Hayden Hurst was not the guy that we hoped he would be. And obviously there were some issues, cognitive injuries that we had to deal with Hayden Hurst, but not the guy we hoped he would be. It just wasn't there. And then you put him behind five wet paper towels of an offensive line. Bryce Young was doomed before it ever started last year. And there is nothing that frustrates me more than a football fan who puts it all on the quarterback. A football fan who believes, not just says, but genuinely believes that the success or the failure of a team is predicated solely on the performance of a quarterback. The quarterback last year had no chance. He was doomed before it started. And if you didn't believe it, for the year and 2 months that RB3 has been screaming it at you, then go with Mike Sando here. If you believe what he's saying is true, and if you believe this quote is accurate, I do, that even NFL coaches went, yeah, there was no chance this guy was succeeding.
None. Sounds like a lot of excuses. Now you've got multiple people giving excuses for a guy not getting his job done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, way to go, you.
Mm-hmm. If I put Lonzo in here with somebody that didn't
speak
English.
Doesn't go to break when they hear the music.
Exactly. You'd fail too, all right? The guys around you are just as important to your job as you are you're a quarterback.
We're going
to
get that text.
Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. We do have a little bit of news for you. Jonathan Brooks, the rookie running back out of the University of Texas and one of the newest Carolina Panthers, will remain on the PUP list for the Panthers, which means that he will be ineligible to play through the first 4 weeks of the season. Not a gigantic shock. Kind of expected as he is making his way back from season-ending ACL surgery for the Longhorns last season. And that rehab, from what we understand, going fine, but just with the surgery and all that, was going to take some time to get him back to 100%. And let's be real. I think protecting rookies is kind of a lost art in the NFL, right? Like, I think you do have to protect rookies. I think you got to put effort into protecting rookies. And I think the Panthers are basically doing that. Here's the reality. It is unlikely, though not impossible, right? Improbable, but not impossible, that the Carolina Panthers are in any way in contention for the division this year. I'm not saying it's impossible, because Atlanta might stink, right? I might be wrong about the ATL. They might stink. In fact, I read a breakdown yesterday, a preseason preview yesterday from, oh gosh, I wish I could remember who wrote it to give him credit or not. But I saw somebody yesterday basically write up an article about how Atlanta is about to learn that Kirk Cousins is mid and that Kirk Cousins was carried pre-injury in Minnesota by the best wide receiver core that at the time had been assembled in the NFL. And I will tell you that I don't agree with it, but I also can't say it's wrong.
Yeah, but at the same time, a mid quarterback in Atlanta is a major step up, isn't it?
No, they had Matt Ryan.
How long ago was that?
I mean, a hot minute.
Yeah.
It's definitely a step up from Desmond Ridder.
Right. So it's
and Marcus Mariota.
And if they would have had a mid quarterback last year, they would at least won the NFC South.
You are probably not wrong about that, to be honest. You're probably spot on accurate with that. Now, is mid good enough to win the NFC South this year? Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably is, to be honest with you. Not any playoff games, but it's probably good enough to win this division this year, which is why, I think Atlanta 1, Tampa 2, New Orleans 3, Carolina 4. I think let me be clear. My optimism about this football team, my belief that this team is trending upwards is about next year, not this year. I think this year is another development year. But I do think that the Panthers are doing the right thing by delaying John Brooks' return to football as long as is possible. I think it's the right play. There's a controversy going around right now in New England because the head coach of the New England Patriots, and this is connected to what we are talking about, so stay with me here for just a minute. There is a controversy developing around the Patriots right now because yesterday, head coach of the New England Patriots, Gerard Mayo, said that, in his opinion, Drake May outperformed Jacoby Brissett in the preseason through camp and through the three preseason games. And just so we're clear, I agree with him. Drake May looked better than Jacoby Brissett did. Now, with that being said, Gerard Mayo also said that he still may end up going with Jacoby Brissett as QB1 for the Patriots. And the Patriots fans are like, I keep forgetting I have this. The Patriots fans are like, we got this rookie quarterback. We got this guy out of the University of North Carolina. Why would we not go with him? And the answer is to shield him from the tragedy that is going to be the 2024 New England Patriots. This is going to be the worst team in the league. Carolina Panther fans at the end of this year are going to call New England fans and go, I feel you, dog, because I think this team's winning two games at the max. Let me put it this way. For just about every other team in the NFL, I can look up and down their schedule and I can go, okay, you know, even if it's a coin flip game, this team's got five coin flip games. They can win two, three of those, right? If they're true coin flip games. Here's New England's schedule. At Cincinnati, home for Seattle. At the Jets, at the Niners, home for the Dolphins, home for the Texans, home for the Jags, home for the Jets. On the road at Tennessee, on the road at the Bears, back home for the Rams, at the Dolphins, back home for the Colts, bye week, at the Cardinals, at the Bills, back home for the Chargers, back home for the Bills. Lonzo, aside from maybe Arizona, what's the other New England win there?
Yeah, I was going to say Arizona is definitely a possibility.
And it's, for the record, possibility, not probability, because I do think this is the busted year for Kyler Murray. He either proves he is or ain't the guy this year, and I do think you're going to get a little something out of Kyler Murray. So I'm going to say at the best that's a coin flip game, and I got to lean towards the Arizona Cardinals because who is in Atlanta right now? Matthew Judon, the best pass rusher and a guy that would make Kyler Murray sweat a little bit, ain't with them no more. They ain't got a pass rush, the Patriots, this year. I think I'm leaning Arizona in that game. I mean it when I say, and it is the NFL. Bad teams beat good teams all the time. It's part of the fun.
They play Indy?
They do play Indy at home.
That was late, right?
That is week number 13.
Okay.
December 1st.
So does Richardson stay healthy the entire year? If he doesn't, then maybe they have a shot at beating Indy.
I mean, maybe they have a shot at beating Indy, right?
And whoever they play last, maybe it, because the other team may, who do they play last?
I don't think they will because it's Josh Allen and the Bills, and Josh Allen and the Bills, if they are winning that division in week 18, it will not be more than by one game.
Okay.
And realistically, all right, I don't think they'll be winning it. I think they'll be having to fight it. By the way, do you know who the backup for the Indianapolis Colts is? A quarterback? Don't worry, I'll tell you. Fighting Joe Flacco. So I wouldn't even say that if Joe Flacco can do for Indy what he did for the Browns last year.
Good on him, jumping on another team. Yeah, you know, man. He was retired, then it was a starter, was in the playoffs, and then, yeah, good for him.
I'll come out of retirement, too, for $27 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, you can pay me a little bit less, and you probably get me out of retirement.
I'll go into retirement for $27 million.
Same here.
Right now, today, somebody call me, offer me 27 to quit. I'm gone. Goodbye.
Hey, offer me one. And
bye, Felicia.
You offer me one, I'm gone.
Yeah,
sure.
I'd have a hard time saying no to that. I'll retire. Anyway, no, the Patriots are going to be toast. And so, to me, Jerod Mayo is making the right decision going with Jacoby Brissett. Because what you don't want to do is throw a guy out there and allow him to get assaulted every play for a team that is not a contender for a damn thing. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Does that sound familiar to any of you Panther fans out there in the Armada? Yes, this is the right call. I have been screaming it for years. Nick Saban agrees with me. And if you don't think that I know ball, that's okay. Are you going to say Nick Saban doesn't know ball? I would say he's got the qualifications to be a knower of ball. And Nick Saban has said, I think we're putting too much pressure on rookie QBs. This is why so many wash out, because you bring them up and you expect them to immediately be something. And the NFL is a different breed of cat. It's a different animal entirely. So the Patriots go, we are going to roll out there until we know Drake May is ready. We're going to roll out there a veteran journeyman backup. We're going to roll a guy out there that, and I'm sorry to say, I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way, though it will sound that way. It doesn't matter if Jacoby Brissett gets his ass kicked. It doesn't matter. He is your sacrificial lamb. He is the shield that will be between the spears of NFL defenses and the soft, spongy, fleshy body of Drake May. That's what Jacoby Brissett is. This is a good decision from Gerard Mayo, and it is ticking Patriot fans off. But this is a decision that you make when you understand the game and when you are not a fan. Remember last week when you said what would happen if an NFL team had like an online poll where they allowed the fans to make personnel decisions? Drake May would go out there week one against the Bengals and he would get his ass whipped. That's what would happen. And you would break him. I will tell you when I say this, you want to know part of the reason that I genuinely believe that Bryce Young is a headstrong enough dude to make it in the National Football League? Because he went through what he went through last season and he came back for more. That's why. Because he went through what he went through last season and he showed up to camp this year in shape and ready to go. He had his little Cars backpack on with his thermos and his Pokemon lunchbox in it, and he was ready to get the hell to work. And when you put him on the field with an NFL defense and said, go throw the ball around a little bit, he stood in the pocket, he set his feet, he read the defense, he made the right read, he did the head fake, he found his guy, and he completed passes. If Bryce Young was able to go through what Bryce Young went last year with absolutely zero protection for the rookie quarterback at all, they threw my dude to the wolves in week one. If he was able to make it out of that the other side and come back this year and be ready to play football for the same team that was ready to sacrifice him to NFL defenses last year, and he came in ready to work, ready to learn, ready to grow, and ready to grow, ready to go. I trust that guy. That guy's headstrong. Because a lot of rookies would not. A lot of rookies would have gotten broken by what the Carolina Panthers did last year. So Gerard Mayo, doing it the right way. Doing it the right way by keeping the future QBF away from QB1 in a year where even Gerard Mayo knows this team is going to be awful.
And then you can get your number one receiver in the draft next year and pair him up with that quarterback and who's had a year of practice under. Yeah, I can see it.
That is exactly correct. That is exactly correct. Give him some time and get. And by the way, half of protecting your rookie isn't just about protecting your rookie. It's about taking care of you as a franchise, right? Because here's the deal. If they protected Bryce Young last year, but then they didn't do anything else, they didn't go get Xavier Leggett. They didn't go get Deontay Johnson. They didn't go get John Brooks. They didn't go get Robert Wood and Damian Lewis at the guard spot. They didn't beef up. I mean, yes, they lost some guys like Derek Burns, but if they did not go do some stuff to make this roster better, then protecting Bryce Young would have been a waste of time. But what'd they do? They took this offseason and they got better. They took this offseason and they improved. They took this offseason and they went and found a coach that is the antithesis of the guy that they hired last year in every way, shape, and form. The opposite of the guy they had last year that failed miserably. And they brought back BY. Now, how much different would it be? And maybe it's bad. Maybe it would have been worse if BY sat for a year, did not play, and this was the first year he faced live fire NFL players. But I think that the Patriots are doing it the right way. And to circle back around to the beginning, because that's what radio is, sitting John Brooks for 4 weeks and giving him all the time that he needs to make sure that knee is as close to 100% as it can possibly be before you trot him out there to run the ball behind a decent offensive line, is the right move to protect him and to protect the franchise's future paying him. Speaking of the franchise, here's Lonzo with a sports flash.
He meant Brian Burns, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Brian's still a guy.
After a rain delay, the Atlanta Braves rode a solid five-inning, seven-strikeout performance from Max Fried to a 10-6 win over the Twins in the first game of a seven-game road trip. Atlanta finished the night with 13 hits, including home runs from Matt Olson and Travis d'Arnaud. Atlanta is six games back of Philadelphia in the NL East, but now has a three-game lead for the final wildcard spot over New York. One issue is off the table for the Dallas Cowboys as the team agreed yesterday to a four-year, $136 million deal with wide receiver CeeDee Lamb that makes him the second highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. The deal includes $38 million in signing bonuses, the most ever given to a wide receiver, and $100 million in guaranteed money. That's not bad. Not bad at all. Tune in this Saturday at 5:30 as Furman Paladins get their college football season started as they take on the Ole Miss Rebels. It's Furman versus Ole Miss right here on The Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.